That's where self-rejection comes in, a spirit of self-rejection, something that's whispering in your ear. You don't really have value. You aren't really loved. Otherwise, your parents would have stuck around. Many people in the church see deliverance ministry at best as a fringe ministry. It's for extreme cases, for people who have lived really bad lives so that they have demons. But the actual fact is that deliverance ministry is very normal, very practical, and every Christian needs it to some extent because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you have sinned, you have sinned against someone, and someone has sinned against you, which means that there are wounds in your soul. And that's where demons come in and cause us problems. And it is very unfortunate that the church has neglected this ministry, has not understood it, has not received it, because we are hurting and we have become very ineffective for ministry because we're not doing this ministry. And Jesus himself said to preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out demons. And it's just sad and kind of crazy that that is considered a fringe part of our ministry rather than central to our ministry. So what do I mean by everybody needs deliverance? Are you walking around maybe speaking in another voice or doing terrible things? Probably not. I mean, maybe some of you are, but most maybe church, normal church-going people are not experiencing something like that. But you do experience depression, maybe suicidal thoughts, addictions, self-loathing, different things like that that really steal your joy and inhibit your ability to do ministry. Or maybe you're afraid to do ministry at all because you're afraid of the rejection that you will experience because you've already experienced rejection. And that is a very practical example of how every person needs some level of deliverance ministry, and it should be normal. So if your parents are divorced, which is a huge percentage of people in America today, then you most likely struggle with a spirit of rejection, a fear of abandonment, and an orphan spirit. So you expect to be rejected, you are afraid of being abandoned, and you feel many times at your some deep level, at least to some extent, like an orphan. This can also happen when a loved one dies, especially if they die suddenly, unexpectedly, in some traumatic fashion. But it can also happen with parents that are alive, but you have experienced rejection by the way that they treated you or words that they spoke to you. These are normal, everyday occurrences, and they are the reason that normal, everyday Christians need deliverance ministry. So when your parents get divorced, they are not usually thinking of this. They're usually thinking of themselves. They're thinking of their own pain. They're trying to escape their own bad situation. And I know every situation is different. But for a child, when parents get divorced, it always communicates to them at some level that there was that it was somehow that I was not worth sticking around for. One or both of your parents left the situation, and therefore they left you. Therefore, technically, they did abandon you, whether they wanted to or not, whether they intended for you to receive it that way or not. That is the fact. That is what happened. When they left, they abandoned you, which also communicates to your soul that there must not, that there must be a lack of value in you, that your parents would treat you that way. That is what rejection is. So you feel rejected, like somehow I wasn't good enough in myself. There was not enough value in me, even though my parents conceived me, gave birth to me, fed me, told me I was loved. At some point, maybe they didn't tell you you were loved, but at some point, they said, enough, this is too much, I'm in too much pain, I don't want to be here, I'd rather be somewhere else with someone else, and they left. And that told your soul, there's something fundamentally unlovable about you, or not as good as somebody else. It made you feel rejected. It made you believe that there is something about you that maybe even you should reject. That's where self-rejection comes in, a spirit of self-rejection, something that's whispering in your ear. You don't really have value. You aren't really loved. Otherwise, your parents would have stuck around. This is a very common occurrence, unfortunately, because of the rampant divorce rates. So many people are struggling with this, and so many people are struggling with it in the church. That is just a very simple example of how every person needs some level of deliverance, emotional healing, ministry. And it's so sad that we have neglected it. Maybe your parents were always together, but maybe they simply were highly critical. One or both of them were highly critical. Nothing you ever did was good enough. And they, when you did something, you wanted them to be proud of, all they could see were its flaws. And that happens oftentimes because the parents themselves carry wounds from their own experience where they felt not good enough. And this is the weird way it propagates itself, is that because of that, they feel threatened even by your accomplishments, because when you, their child, are accomplishing things, it reminds them of how they don't feel like they've accomplished anything. They feel competition from you, so they want to cut you down in order to try to heal their own souls, which is, of course, it doesn't work, and it's it's a sad trick of the enemy. It's just, again, an example of how everybody needs deliverance ministry. But if you were told by your parents, if they were highly critical, then again, you're going to receive into your soul that nothing I do is good enough. There's something wrong with me, and you will experience rejection. And you may even agree with that to the extent where you start rejecting yourself. I even experienced this myself. I grew up in a great Christian home. And of course, no home is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've played guitar since I was 18 years old, been leading worship. I'm now 41, so that's a long time. And it's only in the last 3 or 4 years that I really began to accept that I am a musician. I always told myself that I'm not really a musician, that I'm faking it, because there were people around me that were more inclined to the technical understanding of music theory. I just played from my gut. I played from my soul. I played practically. I sang songs. I would sometimes play the wrong chords, because what mattered to me more than playing the right chords was singing the song and just getting the song out. So that's the way I played. That's the way I practiced. And people, through criticism, through words spoken, I just received that I'm not really a musician. But I played the guitar all the time. And I've played, they say 10,000 hours makes you an expert. I'm probably close to that. And I've definitely grown. I've received music theory just by practicing it. I still don't know music theory technically, but there are a lot of things I do understand at a deeper level simply from being familiar with music, playing the guitar for hours on end. And I've only realized in recent years that I was busy rejecting myself, that part of me was pushing myself forward, wanting people to recognize my music, wanting people to recognize my skill, wanting them to recognize that there is a special anointing on my life to lead worship and do these things. And I always felt that people were rejecting me. And eventually I realized that part of it was that I was rejecting myself. I would push myself forward and at the same time tell people why I'm not really a musician. And it had this effect of being self-defeating. Since recognizing that, I've just learned to accept that, yes, I am a musician. No, I'm not like some other people, but I am doing exactly what God made me to do, which is to lead worship. And as I've become satisfied with that, I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm not rejecting myself anymore. I'm embracing what God put in me. I am a worship leader, and I am a musician, and I'm not like some other musicians, but I am a musician in my own right, and my music has blossomed in a new way in these past few years. I'm more effective in this ministry, the music ministry, because I'm not rejecting myself anymore. That's a very simple, very practical application to myself of how lies from the enemy can inhibit our fruitfulness. So deliverance ministry is not a fringe ministry. It's not something just for people who are addicted to meth. It's not something that's just for people who are in prison. It's definitely for those people, but it's for everyday people. And if the church would get a hold of the fact that she needs the ministry of the Holy Spirit in deep places of our soul, she will grow and she will bloom. She will be on fire for the Lord. That's why I'm passionate about deliverance ministry. It's why I keep ringing the bell that the church needs deliverance ministry, that yes, Christians can have demons. Christians can and do have demons. The reason I ring that bell and I beat that drum is because until we recognize that, we can't be set free, and we need to have all, you know, as Paul says, let all, it's Hebrews. It says, let's cut away everything that hinders us from running the race with endurance. These are like weights, dead weights. They're lies of the enemy, strongholds of the enemy that he got rooted in our lives at young ages to keep us from reaching the destiny that God intends for us. And God does have a destiny for you. The devil also has a destiny, and his destiny for you is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And as Christians, we are mixed bags. We have said yes to Jesus, kind of as an overarching proclamation over our lives. But in certain places, Satan has footholds. He has lies that he planted, that he reinforced through circumstances, through words spoken by authority figures. And until we recognize that those things are there, we can't be set free from them. So if you have never been through deliverance, if you've never just, you know, what I mean by that is allowing, you know, sitting down with someone who knows how to walk you through the possible open doors. So like trauma, abuse, word curses, things that maybe a mom or a dad or a grandfather spoke over you, like you'll never be good enough or you'll never amount to anything, things like that, or comparing you to a sibling as if you are second rate. These things are open doors. If you've been involved in the occult, even in tiny ways, like going to see a fortune teller at a fairgrounds as a joke, those things still can be open doors, and they can still, you know, when Satan gets a crack and he exploits that crack to make it wider and wider, to make a separation between you and the Holy Spirit so that you are not, it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't in you, but you're not communicating well with him. You're not receiving from him. You're not in fellowship with him as you could be. Satan is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to hamper and hinder the church because we are the greatest threat that he has ever known. And Jesus has done all the fighting. He's won the victory, but it's been given to us to apply the victory. As Morris Cirillo said, we fight a foe that's already been defeated. We fight to overcome a foe that has already been defeated, but it still requires our application. When Jesus said that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, it was when the disciples came back rejoicing that the demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus. It's when the church is functioning in the power and authority of Jesus to cast down the rulers of darkness. That's when Jesus said, Satan has fallen from heaven like lightning. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men, as it says in Psalm 115:16. God always intended for the earth to be ruled over and governed by human image bearers. He can do it all himself, but he chose when he created the world to exercise his power and dominion through the church, through you and I. And that's still the way he intends to run it now. Jesus has overcome the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus said, be of good cheer. In the world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Jesus has won the victory, but he's not going to exercise his dominion only by himself. He is going to exercise his dominion, his rule and reign, his righteousness and justice and truth through his people. So that means that unless you and I get engaged with the Holy Spirit, get active, say yes to him, begin to function in the authority he's given to us, the rule and reign of Christ will not be manifested on earth as it could be and as it should be. So God is always ready to bring about a revival. He's waiting for you and I to be ready for him to move through us to advance his kingdom. So my answer to him is, yes, I am here to serve you. Even if the world criticizes me, if the church criticizes me, I'm here to do the work. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So if you're not having pushback, if people aren't attacking you, if they aren't criticizing you, you're doing something wrong. As Mike Signorelli said, if you're not in a head-on collision with the devil, it's because you're running in the same direction. I'm not going to run in that same direction. America has been running in that same direction, and we are reaping the consequences of that. It's time to stop, turn around, face into the wind, confront the devil, and start driving him out of our lives and out of our families and out of our land in Jesus' name. If you want to be part of that, then leave a fire emoji right now. Leave a comment right now. Like this video. And if you need someone to walk you through deliverance, you say, hey, my parents got divorced. I've struggled with addiction. I've struggled with porn. I've struggled with depression. I've struggled with suicidal thoughts. Then leave a comment below or contact me at www.carlgessler.com. And that's Carl with a K, K-A-R-L-G-E-S-S-L-E-R. Email me at the contact link, and I'll be happy to set up a time to walk you through deliverance, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Jesus said, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He never said there are too many people doing deliverance ministry. He never said there are too many people preaching the gospel. There are too many people printing Bibles. He never said there are too many people praying for the sick to be healed. He said the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So if we want revival, if we want to see our nation healed and brought back to Jesus, then it's us. We must take up the mantle. We must begin to do the work. And that's when revival comes. Revival is all about obedience. So I pray, my prayer for you today is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will repent of every place you have opened the door to the enemy, that you will learn to recognize the lies that you believe that are stealing your joy, and that you will begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as God intended. All creation is waiting with eager anticipation for the revealing of the sons of God. It's waiting for you to take up your rightful place on God's earth and begin to function in the power of the Holy Spirit with the authority that Jesus won for you. Jesus shed his blood so that you would begin to do the work of the Spirit. So don't waste his blood. Don't waste his suffering. Don't waste the cross by doing nothing. Begin to exercise your authority. Begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had many critics accuse me of promoting deliverance ministry and saying that Christians need deliverance in order so that people will come to me. And so that I will somehow, I think they believe that I'm getting rich off of this ministry. Far from it. As a matter of fact, if you want to support us, we could use the support. And there are links in the show notes because we actually we run by faith. We are stretched to the limit, and every day we are always we just get stretched more and more because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So rather than me trying to get the only reason I try to get people to come to me for deliverance is because there aren't many people doing it. But the Lord will use you for deliverance ministry if you will simply say yes. You may need to begin that journey by receiving deliverance yourself, and then you will understand how to minister to other people. Because you can only share what you've experienced yourself. You can't give something you haven't received. So allow God to work in your life, because there are people out there that are hungry, that are thirsty, and there's simply not enough people bringing water and bringing the bread of life. So I pray that the Lord touches you today, and I believe he is. I know that he is touching hearts and lives of people watching this video right now. God is speaking to you. God wants you in the fight. He wants you in the battle, because it's not going to happen without you. Jesus said, apart from me, apart from himself, we can do nothing. But Jesus also doesn't need us in the sense of like he can't do it himself, but he has set up the world so that he's going to accomplish his work through us. So he's waiting. You know, the scriptures say that he goes to and fro, roaming the earth, seeking someone that he can use. You simply need to raise your hand like Isaiah and say, here am I, send me. So, Lord, I pray for every person listening, every person watching right now, that they would recognize the voice of the Lord that's saying, yes, this video is for you. This word is for you. I am talking to you. I do want to use you to set the captives free. I do want to use you to heal the land. And yes, I also want to heal you yourself. I know the wounds in your soul, says the Lord. I know the things that were said to you that still scar you, that still burn, that still sting. And I want to heal those places. I know the wrongs that were done to you. And I know that they still hang on you like a dead weight that's holding you back, that keeps you from running. It keeps you from leaping. It keeps keeps you from laughing. And the Lord says, I want to heal that right now in Jesus' name. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for healing the wounds in our souls. And I thank you that you are going to do more, that this is just the beginning, and that this word which you're speaking to us right now is a living word. I thank you for that, Lord. We receive it. We receive it, Lord. Help us to understand our next step. And I believe the next step for many of you today is to reach out to me, and I will walk you through deliverance and help you get equipped so that you can then walk other people through deliverance, because that is the work of the church, is for the equipping of the saints, for the building of the body, for the work of ministry. So listen to the Lord and obey. We need you in the fight. We need you to move in order for revival to happen, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this word, and I ask that you breathe on it now and breathe on every person listening and watching. Be filled with the Holy Spirit from the top of the head of your head to the bottom of your feet. Know God's calling in your life. Know God's commands. Know what he wants you to do next, and say yes right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. If this video has helped you and encouraged you, leave a fire emoji, leave a comment. That'll help the algorithm, and it'll help more people hear this word. Share it, push it out there. And then again, if you want to partner with us in ministry, we'd love to have your support. There are links below every show. And so I encourage you to check those out. All right, God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.